Open your Bible with me to 2 Samuel 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. We're going to bounce around a little more tonight than normal. We are, you realize that there's several overlapping passages between the two books of Samuel, the two books of Kings, and especially the two books of the Chronicles. And so we'll be overlapping through this section a little more than in some cases. But we've been dealing with, most recently, of course, the history of the nation of Israel. We have dealt with them primarily in the last little while since they've come out of Egypt and under the leadership of Joshua made it into the Promised Land 40 years later. And going into the Promised Land, they had the problems of incomplete obedience from time to time. Only under Joshua they did remarkably well, and the Bible says that under the leadership of Joshua, the people of Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And then they went into a period of up and down cycles that was not a stellar period for the children of Israel. And through the up and down cycles, what is very typical that happens, they when they rebound back up, they don't go as far up, and then the next time their moral decline goes even greater. And that was true, I think, through the period of the judges. And there were seven discernible cycles through the period of the judges. Many more judges than seven, but seven discernible judges, or seven discernible cycles. And then we get into the time where the people start clamoring for a king. After the time of judges, they want a king. And the first king that the nation of Israel had, God told Samuel not to be too fretting about this because that they have rejected me. God said they rejected me as their king, not you as the prophet of God, not you as the last judge. This is really their rebellion against me. And God went ahead and let them have what they wanted, and that was a king. And he let them have the one they chose, and that was Saul. He allowed that to take place for a reason. Saul served 40 years, started off strong, ended up very, very poorly. And we know the story of that. We've covered it over the last few weeks. Now then, we've been dealing with David. David was chosen by God. David wasn't the one that was head and shoulders above all the rest. Seemed to be a handsome young man, a talented young man, a valiant young man. But he wasn't the one that Samuel looked at and said, that's the one. There would have been older brothers that Jesse had, David's older brothers, that Samuel said, ah, that's the one. And God said, no, that's not the one. And they waited and they waited. You see, the difference is God knows the heart. And the heart of David was the one that God wanted upon the throne of Israel. David waits about 7 years before he reigns anywhere. And then he reigns only in Judah. And that for about 7 years. So it's a long time before David actually assumes the throne over all of Israel. David seemed to be completely resting in the thought of that song that Keith picked. David didn't hurry the situation along. David knew that he was called to be king of Israel. But others didn't recognize that right away. And in the process of time, they finally did. And first it was just Judah. And Judah said, David, we want you to be our king. And so David was king of Judah. And then Saul had a son that the other tribes wanted to install as king. His name was Ish-bosheth. And that seemed logical and natural that they should have the son of Saul, and so they did, and that didn't work out very well, and he died. And then the folks of Israel in total came to David and said, we want you to be our king. All in God's time. All in God's perfect time. And so we read in 2 Samuel 5, then, verses 4 and 5. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem he reigned 30 and 3 years over all Israel and Judah. So David reigned his 40 years, 33 over the whole outfit, 7 over just Judah. But it was, for the most part, a stellar reign. And we'll look at something in a little bit, a verse that I didn't remember ever reading. I'm sure I have, but you know how it is. One day you read a verse, you say, ah, who put that there? And we'll cover that in a little bit. In 1 Samuel, the first 10 verse chapters of 2 Samuel, the first 10 chapters cover the rise of David, the reign of David, and really the apex, the good years of David's reign. Chapter 11 and 12 turn a corner. The reign of David is never the same after chapter 11 and chapter 12. Chapter 11 and 12 is when he committed the sin with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered and tried to cover it up. And the child of that union died. And the curse that was pronounced, or the judgment, maybe is a better word, the judgment that was pronounced by God upon that whole situation, David lived with the rest of his life. David did not have a peaceful reign the rest of his life. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. 2 Samuel chapter 12, we'll start reading in verse 7 and see where David kind of comes to himself and says, oh my, I've sinned. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. And Nathan had given an illustration, and David was angered about the situation. And then Nathan said to David, you're the man I've been talking about. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? Notice this. Despise the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. You keep that phrase in your mind, the commandment of the Lord. Why'd you despise the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me. Now the word despised, often, most times in the Old Testament, New Testament as well for that matter, in the Bible, the word despised means thought little of, had very little regard for. Doesn't mean, and this is important, it doesn't first and foremost mean, ew, I hate that. It doesn't mean that. It means, that's irrelevant. I thought little of it. So I want you to understand that because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take the wives before thine eyes and will give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. In other words, right out in the open. For thou didst it secret, but this thing will I do before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, that thou shalt not die Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion unto the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, so the child that is born unto thee shall surely die. Chapter 11 and chapter 12 are very low points in David's life. David is told here by Nathan that because of this sin, the sword shall never leave his house. He's going to be a man of war all the days of his reign. This is probably somewhere in the middle of the 40 years of his reign. Something close to the middle is what most of the experts think. And so the last 20 years, and you notice what it said too about that I will rise up, verse 11, I will raise up evil against thine own, against thee out of thine own house. Not only is he going to have national trouble and battles from now till the end of his rule, he's going to have trouble in his house from now to the end of his rule, which is the end of his life. And so David repented, but that doesn't change the fact and it doesn't remove the scars. David repented, else the Lord would have taken his life, Nathan said. But he's going to live with the consequences of this sin for the rest of his life, probably about 20 to 25 years. I wonder if David looked back and thought, that wild night with Bathsheba that started it all was worth it. I rather doubt it. He went on to marry her, yes. He went on and had children with her. And Solomon was one of the children of Bathsheba. And he went on to be king. But this sin in David's life was definitely a low point. We'll bring out something about that in a little bit. After this, then, 2 Samuel chapter 13 through 18 covers the trouble that he has at home as a result, to a very great extent, a direct result to the sin with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah. Chapter 19 through 23 covers the national trouble, the wars, the battles, the bloodshed, the constant warring that went on. Just like God said. And so the rest of the book basically is the chronicle of how that David lived with what he did and how that cost him so much. In 2 Samuel 24, we have another issue with David. It's interesting that he is probably right at the very near end of his life, but for some reason, David gets in his head to number the people of Israel. Wasn't something that was completely uncommon. God had told them to number the people of Israel from time to time. But the point here is that this time, God had not told David to number the children of Israel. So the supposition is, and it's only supposition, but the supposition is that David looked out over his vast reign and said, wonder how many I've got. Wonder how many there are. And it seemed to be, it just seems to me that it was motivated out of an arrogant tone, a haughty spirit that had crept in. And David decided to number the children. Look at 2 Samuel 24, the first four verses. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them. And he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. And for the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes. Notice what, pick up on verse 2 here. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him. Go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, Now the Lord thy God add unto the people, how many soever there be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab. In other words, David got his way. The king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. And Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. And now jump down to verse 8. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of the 9 months and 20 days. Okay, nearly 10 months that this had gone on. David had space to repent. Verse 9, Joab gave them the sum of the number. Verse 10, look at this. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. David's heart finally smote him. But it was a long time in coming. Now, again, this thing is something that seems like was in his heart to do, wasn't directed to him of God, but God says, okay, go ahead, do it. And he even has Joab there, the captain of the host, saying, David, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? God adds, you can see that, but why are you doing this? The Bible tells us that, verse 4, notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab. King's word prevails, period. And he got his way, and he got the nation numbered. But it was not something that pleased the Lord. And finally, David was, as it says, his heart smote him. And David said, I've sinned. But it took him over 10 months to get there. But the fact that he owned up to it, the fact that he repented of it, the fact that when it was brought to his attention by Nathan, the sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, that he said, I've sinned, reminds us of something about the nature and character of David. He was a man of a tender heart. He was a man desiring to serve God. He was a man that in the main did serve God. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, he's called by Luke, the author of Acts, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's called a man after God's own heart. And so we recognize something of David's character that even when he does sin and comes short and fail, he repents and he falls before God and he says, God, I've sinned. Now, this is the verse that caught my attention. 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 5. We're taking it right in the middle of a thought, but I wanted to give you this one verse. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only, or except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Notice how, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the Kings, the book of Kings is written, and we have it laid out for us in 1 Kings 15:5, that according to the authority of the Word of God, that David's life pleased God in all things. He wasn't sinless. He wasn't perfect in all things. But his life, in the main, was the life of a man seeking and striving to follow God. When he sinned, he fell before God and said, "I've sinned." Sometimes he got to that point pretty quickly. Sometimes it took him a while. But he did. He continued to fall before God and say, "I've sinned." And the commentary of the Word of God upon the life of David is that he did that which was right in the sight of God. In the main, on the whole, completely, save for the matter of the Hittite. He took his wife and had him murdered. And so, we can never let down our guard. David, nearing the end of his reign, seemingly the height of his wisdom, having many years of experience to draw from, finds it in his heart to number the children of Israel. Joab says, "David, why are you doing this?" He doesn't listen. He goes ahead and does it. We can never let our guard down. Well, we should never, when we're convicted of a sin in our heart by God, we should never be stubborn and refuse to fall before Him and say, if it's a fact and if you feel convicted of it, and say, "God, I have sinned. And I want to live right before You." So, for the most part, David's life pleased the Lord. David's rule was a rule of godliness. The direction of David's kingdom was a direction of godliness. But remember what we read about the sword shall never depart from your house. Now, that plays in on something that David wanted to do towards the end of his life and then was not allowed to do. First Chronicles. We'll find a passage in 1 Chronicles 28. The first book of Chronicles, chapter 28. And we will look at verses 1 through 3. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands and the captains over the hundreds and the stewards over all the substance and the possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men and with the valiant men unto Jerusalem. He assembled them all. Then David the king stood upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over all Israel forever, for he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, and of the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to be king over Israel." David says there towards the end of his life, and you read on just a little bit farther, and David let's on. Well, the next verse, let's read it. "And all of my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, and hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Israel, of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father." So David, in this passage, in the first three verses, tell us, "I wanted to build the house of God, the resting place for the Ark of the Covenant, but I was not allowed to." Did you catch why? That he had been a man of war, verse 3, and had shed blood. Remember why, to some extent, why he was a man of war. God said, as he pronounced a judgment upon David, after the sin with Bathsheba, the sword shall not leave your house. The time of trouble, in part, that David experienced would have been, in part, the judgment of God. Now David had in his heart, I want to build the house of God. I want to build a resting place for the Ark of the Covenant. David had brought it back to the nation of Israel, to Jerusalem, back in 2 Samuel 6. And that thing that he had on his heart to do, God wouldn't allow him to do. And when you put a couple of pieces together, ultimately, the best I can figure this out, the reason he was not allowed to do it was because he was a man of war, and the reason he was a man of war is because that was part of the judgment of what took place. You see, sometimes getting everything we want may cost us everything we wanted. You get that? Sometimes we get hold things in our eyes and we've got to have it. David, looking at Bathsheba, bring her to me. Look how much it cost him. Look how much that cost him. Sometimes getting everything we want may cost us everything we had wanted. David wanted to build a temple. David was only allowed to prepare the materials. Solomon ended up building the temple. One last passage back in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2. And the first four verses. Remember what I told you to keep in your mind? Close your eyes and think. What did Pastor say to keep in your mind? To keep the commandments of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 2, first four verses. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. What does he mean by that? I go the way of all the earth. I'm dying. I'm about to die. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Solomon, the Lord needs soldiers, not sissies. The Lord needs warriors, not wimps. You've been made a man. Be a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, and to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. David's getting ready to depart. He knows it. He gathers up Solomon, who he knows God has chosen to be the next king. And 70-year-old David looks into Solomon's eyes and said, you know what? Don't make the same mistakes I made. I had some great victories. Oh, I tried hard to serve the Lord. But all my failures came at my sin, at the things in which that I, in the areas in which that I sinned. And the the trouble that I've had has flowed out of the areas of my sin. And the repercussion of that sin. Many times we think, people think, well, I can do this and it won't affect anybody else. I can do this and it's just me. It's not hurting anybody else, not affecting anybody else. Rarely, maybe never, but rarely can we go against the Word of God, sin against God, and it not affect other people. David's sin affected many, many other people. David looked Solomon in the eye, his son, and said, walk in the commandments of God. It'll be to your own well-being. God will bless you. God will continue to keep you and your descendants on the throne. Walk in the commandments of God. We'll see Solomon's rule, Lord willing, next. And Solomon had an amazing rule of 40 years. An amazing time of wealth and abundance and peace and some things that Solomon did that you just sit back and scratch your head and say, how? How could he do that? But then I'm sure every one of us, if we had hidden cameras on us 24/7, there'd be people scratching their heads looking at us saying, how? How can he do that? How can she do that? So we won't get too hard on them. We'll just recognize that they're men. But I'll leave you with what David left Solomon. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, everything as written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spoke. And he repeats, if your children will follow me, I'll keep them on the throne. So two lessons, I think, tonight. A reminder of one we've said over and over, we can never let down our guard. And the other, be careful what you want. Be sure that it's what the Lord wants and what the Lord wants you to have. Because sometimes getting everything you want may cost you everything you once wanted. May cost you everything you have. So we look to the Lord and we say, Lord, help us to learn from these men in the Bible and women in the Bible. Help us to learn. Help us to learn from their mistakes. These are some of the voices of wisdom. There are many more, but these are just some of the voices of wisdom Proverbs 1 talks about. And if we learn from their mistakes, we won't have to go through those same things ourselves. And how good would that be? May the Lord impress upon our hearts tonight just to weigh everything, weigh our desires, weigh our thoughts, even weigh our ambitions, the things that I want. Is it what God wants? Will he be with me? Will he guide me? Will he bless me? Let's pray.